bring it on. Want some, get some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yeah.
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
It is a first down. Pirate.
Because when you're at East Carolina, you go for it every time. Or you don't coach at East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play at East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
You better go to Omaha. I can promise you that.
Painted purple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
All right, welcome into Extra Innings, Season 7, Episode, I believe it's 9. And with us right now, let's go to all the way to LaGrange, North Carolina, Kyle Barber. How are you, man?
What's going on, Dave? Rough week for Pirate Baseball.
Started out
well,
good.
Yeah, started off good non-conference, but gets swept at home in conference is about as bad as you can get. We've been complaining about in-state midweek games, and we get 2-0 midweek and go 0-3 for conference. So, not good. If we could have salvaged something today,
yeah,
you could have swallowed it. You know, now 6-3 in league play. Need to see. I don't know if anybody's checked what UTSA and South Florida's done this weekend.
I don't know, but I know that as we bring in Landis Wilson, Landis, I know that that brought FAU up to 5-4. So they're they were 2-4. Now they're 5-4. But I'll have to check, guys. But I do know our opponent this weekend is now one game from us. So, you know, it, as a saying goes, it is what it is. Not too happy with that. I did want to say, want to give a shout out to your company, Landis, by the way. And if I can do that real quick, Billy's Nuthouse Candy Company. Can you tell us about that? And maybe one day you can help sponsor the show.
Yeah. So my granddad and my grandma started a pecan farm back in the late 80s, and my dad did too. And my granddad was Billy, and my dad's Billy as well, but they planted about 116 trees out here right outside of Aiden. And anyways, we did a lot of, for years, we did a lot of wholesale and cracking and shelling and stuff like that. And fast forward to now, now I live down here, and my dad's still around here all the time and does stuff with me. But we started a candy company in the past year where we do a lot of, we use all fresh pecans, we use Ghirardelli chocolate and vanilla, and we harvest candy and process all our pecans down here. And so we do a lot with that. So getting that off the ground and yeah, I'd love to have the, you know, little advertising up here. That'd be great.
And you also, know, Landis, you know, to endorse your product, to firmly speak behind your product, to,
oh my God,
to give your product the green flag, to say your product is excellent, have to try it.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to get you some. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, so so you can, we're at the Pitcairn Farmers Market every Saturday. You can pick it up at the farm. You can also call me on my cell phone and come pick it up. We are in Davenport Harvest Market, and we'll be there this week. In the store, we're down south in Beulahville, which is kind of far away, down in Mike's farm. But the best way to do that would be
Mike's farm is excellent in Beulahville. If anybody hasn't checked it out, so your product's available at Mike's Farms.
Yeah, we're in the NC Products Building.
Go to the NC Products Building. Go down to Mike's Farm, get yourself something to eat. Go check out, go down there, free plug for Mike's Farm, like they friggin' need it. go get some fried chicken and macaroni and cheese and other good stuff. It's served family style if you've never been to Mike's Farm, go on a hayride, whatever the hell, and then check out their market and get some of Billy's nuts.
Yep. You can go crazy and go nuts, and you can get Billy's Nut House candy, and you can simply go to Billy's Nuthouse Candy Company.com. Can you order that way,
Landis? Yeah, you can order it online that way. Yeah, most definitely. And you can go to our
Billy's Nuthouse Candy Company.com.
Yes, sir.
I can put up a banner. I'll create a banner and do some for. I'll fix it right now for you.
Okay, and our Facebook too. If you're local, if you're around Greenville, go to our Facebook. You can message me up there and pick them up from the farm. But we do ship all over the place. Everything we do, we ship out of here. We design all the labels here. We print all the labels here. We do everything here and ship it out of here. But locally, you can go to our Facebook as well as Billy's Niles Candy Company is our tag on it. And you can message me, call me, and you can pick it up at our farm or at the farmer's market on County Home Road every Saturday.
Are you trying to get any other local retailers throughout Eastern North Carolina?
Yeah. That's what we've been trying to do. So really right now it's the Davenport Harvest Market, which is a really awesome place. On 264, like you're going to Washington, kind of north, kind of that way. We're in the Haruka Natural Store in Snow Hill now. They opened up a farm market there. And we're also in some basket companies on the Outer Banks right now. But, yeah, that's where we're at right now. So pretty new with the candy. So, yeah.
Well, that's cool. But also, I was going to mention, since we're doing plugs right now, they can actually come to the Snack Shack, and you can come there, and
Hey, what the hell is the Snack Shack? I hear you talk about the Snack Shack there in Williamson and business you're involved in, but what is the Snack Shack exactly?
So, thank you for asking. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's I basically take an ice cream shop, then we also have hard candy. We have chew bread.
You know what? Have you considered selling Billy's candy and nuts there at the Snack Shack?
Yeah, we were talking about that right before you popped in the pre-meeting at the very tail's end. We also have, Kyle, you'll love this, orangeades and lemonades like you get at Clark's Pharmacy back in the day.
Oh, nice.
Banana splits, ice cream, novelty ice cream like push-ups, Nutty Buddies, that sort of thing. So
novelty ice cream.
Yeah, peanut brittle. We have that. Peanuts, so a lot of fun stuff there. And
now what you could do is you could take some of Billy Nut and Candy Company chocolate covered pecans and mix them in with some ice cream, and you probably have something there.
There you go.
And I need to get these from y'all. I mean, I need to get these to y'all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and people will buy them. They're buying like everything. It's been great. So awesome. Great start for us, and especially Kyle, karaoke, one of your favorites, doing very well.
I didn't know karaoke was one of my favorites, but
it is now.
All right, well, apparently. Does anybody ever sing Love Shack and change the words to Snack Shack?
And that's a commercial idea for one of the radio stations locally that you know very well, Kyle. I told them that I would love to. There's also a number one song, I think it's way before my time, in 63, called Sugar Shack. So the older part of our demo, if you will. They may remember that song, but there's a place near the tracks. They call it the Sugar Shack. Well, there used to be railroad tracks not near our business. So anyway, not to make it about the Snack Shack, but it's been going very well. We have TVs everywhere. So today we had the Pirate baseball game on, the Pirate softball game. And Kyle, by the way, you'll be happy to know that I was also watching, believe it or not, the Arlington Renegades. And they were taking on the Houston Roughnecks. I've been joking about that. Sorry, Roughnecks. And the UFL. And Holton Ahlers, you know, I think he's the backup quarterback for the Renegades.
Correct.
I was hoping that he would get in. So I had the football was on the big screen, 75-inch. We have a 50-inch.
Isaiah Winstead led the Renegades in receiving today. Another former Pirate. I think they only put up 11 points in the win. So good defense. But if they're only putting up 11 points, they might want to change their backup to their starter at the quarterback role, particularly with Winstead leading in receiving. I think Holton might know how to get Isaiah the ball.
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. So we're in that thing called Birmingham, right? We definitely had Pirate support there today, and we have seven TVs. We had three of them on, and they were all Pirate related. So let's talk baseball.
Seven TVs, wow! At the Snack Shack, there's all right.
We do.
I got no business to promote, so I'm just going to continuously promote y'all throughout the show.
I'll just randomly
mention Billy's Nut and Candy Company and the Snack Shack throughout the show.
Okay, do that for me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
And Kyle, we actually have video game night, which I want you to be the host soon.
Video game night?
Yeah. From Atari all the way up to PlayStation 5, we've got you covered.
Really? That's really cool.
Yeah. So we'll, awesome. We'll talk off air. Well, let's talk baseball. That's what everybody's waiting for. So, guys, I remember the Kyle may remember the movie critic Leonard Maltin. Do you remember him?
Leonard Maltin?
You remember him?
Ball-headed dude with a beard and stuff and a big mustache.
Yeah. Well, not a
ball-headed. Curly hair. Curly hair, wore glasses, mustache, right?
Yeah. He said, parts of this movie I liked, other parts I didn't like. And if you're wondering why I'm bringing him up, that's the way I describe the week for Pirate Baseball. The parts I liked was the midweek games. The parts I didn't like, I just, you know, it's, you can blame it on me. I thought that, I said, here we go. You know, we had those. Now, this is what I said after Wednesday night in the Elon game. Now we won't have to hear those stupid fans talking about midway games over and over and over again because the series at home is at home. And yeah, I knew
stupid fans. Who needs those guys?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I get tired of hearing about midweek games. And then, lo and behold, it was reversed, like you said, Kyle, early in the show. And the Friday night game, we'll talk about that in a little bit. That was a huge disappointment. Yesterday was embarrassing. I know that happens. Landis, we'll talk about that. And then today was another game. When we look back at the season, I'll just say this. There's a lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda, and we just didn't. And also, let's give credit to Florida Atlantic. They're a better team than probably advertised or we thought. They came, as Landis said in pre-meeting, they came to play. Pre-show meeting, that is. But guys, with the we had started off with Wilmington, and we had a grand slam walk-off right on Tuesday night. That was, I tell you what, I've watched that video. Probably Tuesday through Thursday, I watched it probably a dozen times. I just kept watching it over and over again. But it was pretty sweet. But what were your thoughts? I'll start, whoever wants to start, with the Wilmington game down in Wilmington at Brooks Field.
Yeah, yeah, good win to beat Wilmington. I mean, they had taken the one from us in Fayetteville, obviously, an old rival there from the CAA days and just, you know, for regionality. Go down there, get a W over UNCW. You know, they kind of ran out of pitching, played some extra inning games this past weekend. That's right. Previous weekend, they played extra inning game on Sunday. And we handled our business down there, you know, ninth inning with the, or was it extra innings with the grand slam, and hung on and won it there in the bottom of the 10th. And so, good to get the W over Wilmington, then came back, dominated performance over Elon, and riding high going into the weekend. But, you know, I guess we're going to concentrate on the midweek first. But it was good to be Wilmington. I mean, it was much needed. The conference games, as we found out this weekend, are way more important. And, you know, that's one thing people will wake up about is everybody focuses on these midweek non-conference games so much. And you know, NC State, we beat them midweek this week. It'll make everybody feel good again. But you go lose the series to Charlotte, it's not going to matter as much.
Yeah.
So, but it was good to beat Wilmington. And then obviously good to come home and beat Elon. But most importantly, you know, we did not get it done this weekend. But Landis, what are your thoughts on Wilmington and Elon?
Yeah, I thought that was a great game and just extra innings, hitting the walk-off. That's amazing. I think Boucher played at South Central, which is a, you know, high school here. And then I think the guy for Wilmington who tied it or went ahead, he was from Rose, I think, Velasquez, I think. So it was kind of like a great one. I believe that's correct. And I think that was like kind of like a back-to-back thing. And with Greenville, you know, they kind of answered each other there. But I thought that was great momentum. To be honest with you, got to be Wilmington because it seems like we always see them in the regionals. I don't know about this year, but usually see Wilmington, and they're usually competitive, and it's always a fight, but we always like to beat them. That was great. I went to the Elon game. Elon struggled, in my opinion. They didn't really have a lot of – they weren't very good, in my opinion. But, again, we got the win. You know, it was 7-5. You know, I think it was a little bit closer than it should be. I think some of the guys, I think this year was really playing a point is the guys who were supposed to be the, we call a banger or a, guy who just bangs the ball all the time aren't doing it like they normally do. And guys who you weren't expecting are the ones hitting. So I think that's kind of throwing everything into a loop. And I feel like Coach Godwin switched up the lineup too, I noticed, leading off with Dixon Williams, which is a good choice in my opinion, because once he gets going, I feel like everything's going to get going offensively. I mean, he's still hitting like 280 with 7 home runs, which is not bad. But, yeah, I feel like he switched the lineup up. Everything was going smooth. And then, like Kyle was saying, you know, they ran into a buzzsaw with Florida Atlantic this weekend. I think that was kind of an eye-opener. And I'll focus on the midweek. But, yeah, so I thought it was great momentum. But baseball can switch up on you like that. It'll humble you right down. So,
as Coach says, it's a game of failure.
It really is.
You know, like with my son, he was asking one of the players. We were watching Duke Carolina on, I think it was Thursday night, college baseball, and we were flipping around. We found that game, and it's big time baseball season for him right now. So we're watching that, and he said, "Dad, is 300 good?" I said, "Yes, sir. The batting average, if you have over 300. And I explained to him, you know, he wants to be, you know, I appreciate him wanting to be great, you know, but 10 out of 10 is just not something. you're not going to see that. So not that it's not possible, it's just not likely. And so I told him 3 out of 10, you're, you know, like an all-star. That's more like an all-star, or maybe definitely 4 out of 10. But and that's the thing, that how much of the game, one of the questions I wanted to ask you and Coach tonight, Landis, is how much of this is psychological, knowing you've got a young team that needs experience, and you know, you have a game like Saturday, which we'll talk about, yesterday's game, that really was not carry, as far as hitting, it's just a long day, a bad day. You know, like you're thinking, even I have confidence in this team because we do have a lot of talent. It's just getting out there, man. You got to get behind the plate and get right there and at the plate, and the offense was just not there yesterday. But let's move to Friday night's game before we talk about that. You look at it, another thing to think about, guys, is you look at the Wilmington game, that could have been a loss. Elon was pretty much, we were in control. Friday, we had a good chance to win that one. Today, we had a good chance. Yesterday was just not our day at all. But if you look at it, my point is look how close we were. Landis, when you said this, made me think about it. Look how close we were to being 2 out of 3 like we normally are, but instead we go 0 out of 3. For the weekend, it's just crazy how close we are from having a winning the series versus getting swept.
Yeah. Friday night, if you look back at it, we kind of jumped up early. They came, you kind of felt like we were going to pull away, and they suddenly hit a 3-run blast and take the lead, and hit another home run right after that, and we never could get the momentum back till late. You go to the 8th. And normally Cliff is very aggressive on the base paths. And Landis, see what you thought about this play. When we hit the ball, I can't remember the exact correlation of events, but whatever happened, we got a hit. The guy in the outfield struggled with the ball a little bit. And he did not send the man from second. And, of course, back-to-back outs after that, we didn't end up not scoring. Scored a run to make it, I believe it was 6-4, 8-6, whatever the hell it was. We were down by 2, and we could have cut it to 1 there. And I really thought he should have sent the man. There would have been a play at the plate. But, I who knows what's going to happen in that situation. But I thought he should have sent him there. Then the bottom of the ninth, we end up scoring another run, and we lose by 1 run. Could not get it done with men on base. At home in the bottom of the ninth, reminded me a bit of the – final game against Coastal in that series. Of course, that one in the extras, and we couldn't get it done. So, Landis, I'm going to pitch it to you. We got two-part question for you. Okay. One, on the play in the 8th where he didn't send him from second, just sent the man from third, would you have sent him there? Or what do you think of the decision in that situation? And, I mean, yeah, everybody's going to say, well, you're second-guessing. Well, yeah, of course I'm second-guessing, but I think in that situation, I'd have sent him. And then secondly, with the way we played Saturday, and we're a very young team still, even though the season's progressed, and I wasn't in the locker room. I'm just just wondering, do you think Coach, and you know, you played at the Division I level, do you think Coach, you know, perhaps, and I'm just guessing with the way we played Saturday, is it possible, and again, Coach Godwin, if you hear this, I'm not saying you did this, I'm just wondering, do you think he was maybe hard on the team Friday night in the locker room, challenged them a little too much and they couldn't take it because they're young, about not getting it done in close games at home? Because, you know, we've done this a few times this year where we're at home, you got men on, and you need to, you know, normally in the past, with Clark LeClair, in those situations, we get it done. And I was wondering if, you know, another close loss at home, a one-run loss in the ninth with men left on base, you know, if we got a fragile team, if Coach was hard. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Just speculating with the way we responded on Saturday so horribly.
Yeah. With the guy not going to third, I think it's when, you know, I've heard it always said, and it's true, when you're winning, everything's great. Every decision feels right. You feel good about everything. You're loose in baseball. And in baseball, it's very important to be loose in terms of relaxed. FAU this weekend was very relaxed in terms of not like they weren't hitting the ball, but they were just loose. They were having a good time. Everything they did, they were winning. It was great. So to play in the outfield, I mean, I don't know. It could have gone either way with tagging up. Hindsight, you know, is 20/20 on it. But if he gets thrown out there, I think it was two outs, then you don't want to have the end the game at third like that.
We had one out at that time.
One out. So I don't know. It could have gone either way with that. With getting beat 14-1 like that, I'm not sure what happened in the locker room, but you know, the way the players react to him on the field, I don't feel like I've been absolutely, you know, in Division I, I have had coaches absolutely wear us out in the locker room, and you can kind of tell how a coach is in the locker room, how they act on the field. And the kids in this really, you can tell Coach Godwin tries to keep it pretty loose and with all the dancing and stuff like that, and the way the interactions on the field. So I don't feel like it was too much. But again, I wasn't in there. But I have, you know, I have seen teams get shut down because you feel like the coach doesn't believe in you. And I've been on teams like that where it feels like, okay, it's us versus the coach, or us versus that team and the coach. I don't feel like that's with Coach Godwin and them. I feel like they're on their heels this year. They know, and they're climbing uphill even when they get going. But the good thing about it is, it's not good they went 0-3, but the good thing about it is this isn't the end of the year. They didn't just end the season. So I feel like there's no going back, right? I mean, their ERA was something. But what you got to do from here on is, as a coach, I would say, do you see how Florida Atlantic came out here and just nonstop from the first pitch just put it on us? That's how you got to be. You got to be relentless with it. That second game, I was watching that. The guy who hit the bombs the day before, he bunted for a hit the first at bat. Threw him off right from the start. And then it was a hit. And then the wind was blowing out to right field about 20 miles an hour. I was out there today, but it was blowing. But, again, you can say that, but both teams are playing in the same condition. So it's and I'll tell you what, the guy from FAU, their coach, once ECU started putting the ball out there over the trees with that wind, he put in a lefty throwing about 80, a crafty lefty. And that's what you do when you don't want guys to hit the ball far. If you got a guy throwing 94 and you barrel it up to right field, it's going to go in the wind. But if you got a guy there throwing 80 miles an hour with a curveball, and you know, everybody's out in front of it, it's kind of hard to really actually get some velocity off the bat. So I thought that was a good move by him. But, I mean, sometimes in baseball you just get beat. Like, you just do. And yesterday was not their day. It was 6-5 Friday. It could have gone either way, but you got to find a way to win. The good teams find a way to win. Today they had it for a while. I mean, they had the lead from, I believe, the third inning to the eighth inning. We left the game a little bit early, I believe. And we did leave a little early because I was like, yeah, they got this one today. And, man, FAU, I was really impressed by how they could hit the ball. I really was. And playing, you know, I was like the start of travel ball when I was 14, 15. My dad had a travel ball team. We went to Florida all the time. A lot of local guys around here, we would always play in Florida. And every time we played a Florida team, it was the same dynamic. It was a very loose atmosphere, and they will beat the brakes off of you for inning after inning if you let them. And it's the same vibe. When I was at Little Rock, we were in the Sun Belt. We played FIU, Florida International, and Florida Atlantic in our conference. And every time, all the way from travel ball when I was 14, all the way through college, Florida teams in baseball, I don't know if it's the weather where they play all the time, but they will absolutely come ready to play. So if anything from this weekend, they need to learn that, you know, that's how you play ball, to be honest with you. They went right at them.
And typically we are aggressive, and, you know, at the plate and then on the base paths. Godwin typically sends people as they go back Friday night. And I'm just to be clear, I was speculating about that in the locker room, was not saying that's what happened at all.
Right.
I don't want Cliff to get pissed at me. Just purely speculating.
I'm sure some stuff was said. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, 16.71 ERA, you know, 18 hits, something like that against you. That's
Yeah, well, I'm sure it was something was said after that performance.
I'm sure something was said.
Yeah. But go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to add that very thing is that Landis, I was happy to see today with the game that I want to get y'all's thoughts on this, that I thought we were good. I honestly thought we were going to win Friday night. And today, like I said, you know, yesterday was yesterday. And I was glad to see that the Pirates, it felt like today, I want to get y'all's thoughts on, they were way more competitive. They obviously, like we said, they were poised to win Friday night and today. So I feel like that overall that Saturday was Saturday. It's one of those days where mama said there'll be days like this. And there last year we checked, and last year we got run ruled in the tournament. So, you know, I think Wichita State.
Yeah, horrible performance home yesterday. But here's the thing. Friday night in Greenville, lose by one. Saturday today, blow a lead, lose by one or two, whatever the final was. You can't keep doing that at home. You got to win close games at home. I mean, we have a home field advantage. We have a home field advantage. Our crowd is good. Our crowd maybe hadn't been into it this year as they have in the past, but they're still good. And I think part of that is the expectation. But here's the good news. You got NC State midweek. Yep. You got Charlotte next weekend. You go 4-0 this week. Nobody's going to remember this past weekend.
Right.
Not until it comes time, you know, to see who wins the regular season championship if this hurts us. But you go 4-0 this coming week, even 3-1. You're probably nobody's going to remember this weekend.
And here's another thing, Kyle, is that we after that Charlotte series, we will have a home game on the 15th against Wilmington. So we've seen that team twice. That'll be a great atmosphere. What are y'all's thoughts about UAB? I haven't seen UAB play, so that's after. So we have the Charlotte series, Wilmington, and the UAB. So just looking ahead, the next handful of games, I feel like we.
What are my thoughts on UAB? I don't have any.
I mean, the basketball team is good.
UAB, the lollipop dragons, as I've always referred to the Blazers from Birmingham. I
tell you what, that stadium down there is nice, man.
They got a great the city of Birmingham, you know, their football stadium. Yeah, the city built a nice stadium, which is, you know, kind of, you know, UAB's gimmick in football, dropping their program, then bringing it back and getting into the American and getting a football stadium built. It may be the equivalent of Coca-Cola dropping Coca-Cola Classic, bringing in new Coke, then bringing back Coke as Coke Classic and destroying Pepsi as back in the 80s at the time Pepsi was number one. And maybe Coke always says that was not marketing strategy. It just worked out that way. Same for UAB football. Not strategy to have your football program, you know, dismantled and totally, you know, done away with and bring it back 3 years later and getting a better conference and having a new stadium built. Anyway, I'm rambling. It has nothing to do with baseball. But you asked what my thoughts were on UAP. I have none for baseball. Traditionally a shitty baseball program, and I have no idea if they're any better this year.
Justin said UAB will be tough. So,
well, there you go. Maybe are they decent in baseball this year? They're never any good in baseball. So this would have to be the year, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I was just going to say another thing is how there's a little bit of lag. I'm sorry, Landis. I was just going to say with UAB and these other teams, if they're getting better, that's not a bad thing for us as far as RPI, not making excuses of that.
Oh, but, yeah, if we beat them, if we win the series, yeah, we need teams to be up in the RPI in the league now more than ever.
Yeah, and I still think we're a regional team. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. There are a lot of people I know that I've had probably three or four people in the last few days before this series say, are we still a regional team? And I was like, yes, we're still a regional team. So we're not predicting. Let me make it very clear. We're not saying – nobody's saying that this is the end of the world. You know, Coach Godwin always talks about this. A baseball season's a marathon, not a sprint. No excuses. What happened is not good. But, you know, Landis, baseball is a very tough sport. My son – Alex plays football, basketball, and baseball. He's finally at 12 years old getting to be where he's starting really to understand the game. And he's been playing since he was five with T-ball. But, yeah, like, really where he's more – I'm talking about the confidence factor. Basketball and football just came really natural to him, even though he loves all three sports. So it's just funny how he's finally starting to be more confident, not chase pitches, different things that – you expect from a young kid.
Yeah, definitely. It's always, you're always learning something in baseball, no matter what. The more you play, the easier it gets. But then again, like, you know, it's almost like you have a great week, everything's great, you hit walk off grand slams, you're winning, and all of a sudden you learn something else comes up. So yeah, but UAB looks like they're 18-14 this year and 3-6 in the conference as of April 5th.
Okay. We'll see how we – and again, with this team, you just don't know. I guess the word we've been talking about all season long for Kyle and Landis is consistency. Coach Hill and I were talking about that several weeks ago, and we were under 500, but we battled our way back. And, again, if there – we talk about it, Kyle, if there was 12 football games, if it was like that, then it'll be really tough. But when there's 56, then you have some wiggle room, not a lot.
Yeah, well, you don't want to, you don't want to ever get swept, particularly at home. You don't want to get swept in conference because, hey, we need to, and I'll check it here in a second, we need to see what UTSA and what South Florida did in league play this weekend, because that's going to be our competition along with Florida Atlantic to win the regular season title. And we have South Florida and UTSA ahead of us still, thankfully, so we can control that. But – you know, we can't play like we did this weekend. That's for damn sure. This team's got to continue to get better, and they will. Again, from a fan and from a team standpoint, Charlotte's a league game, but from a fan standpoint, or a league series, but from a fan standpoint, with NC State and Charlotte coming up this week, you really have a chance to get the fan base back engaged, back excited after a sweep. And from a conference standpoint, you got a chance to, go out to Charlotte and take that series. Where's that? Is that being played on campus? Where's that being played at?
One of the games I know is going to be at where the Charlotte Knights play downtown.
Is that Truist? Is that in Fayetteville? I get my minor
part. No, you're right. Truist is the park. And, we're going to have a lot of – the good news is we're going to have a lot of Pirate fans there. So we know a lot of Pirate fans that are going to the game that have told us off air. So there's going to be a lot of Pirate fans there. I don't know the amount, but, that will play a factor as we have a huge ECU fan base there, alums in Charlotte, the Charlotte area. So sure. I think that will be a good showing for us. And, with this team, it's hard to say. By the way, John White, former pitcher for the Pirates in the 90s. He said, I have to be honest right now, unless the tournament has won, this team is not a regional team right now. Hate to put it bluntly like that. True, if the season were ending tomorrow, then, yeah, we would be very concerned. But I think
John means that we're playing. We were not a tournament team right now. We're going to have to play better. And,
right.
And, right. And we have the ability to do that. But it's going to have to start.
Did we lose you? I'm not hearing Kyle right now. Are you hearing Kyle, Landis?
I'm not hearing him, nope.
Okay, we lost you, Kyle. I don't know what happened, but it was like mid-sentence, if you can hear us.
Yeah, am I back?
Now you're back.
Yeah, okay. You're back.
Yeah, I got a phone call with the Kinston number, so I answered it, but they were looking for Robert.
Hey, Robert.
I'm not Robert. Robert,
a shout out.
I'm not Robert. Yeah, what was I saying?
About not being a
tournament team.
Oh, yeah. Well, as of right now, the way we play this weekend, no, we're not, but there's still time to turn it around. We're a young team. There's still time to turn it around. But you can't keep losing. You can't keep losing. You're going to dig yourself too big of a hole where the only way you are going to get in is to win the conference tournament. Now, we're not there yet. You still got plenty of midweek games to go to build your RPI against teams like NC State. You know, if we go not lose another conference series this year, we'll win the conference championship. So just take two out of three every weekend, and you're going to handle your business. But that's a lot of ifs and buts and candy and nuts. And, hey, if we all had – Billy's nuts and candy, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But it's a nice – I tried, Landis, and I screwed it up. But anyway, there's still plenty of baseball ahead of us. But I agree with John. John knows baseball way more than I do. And we are – as we sit today, no, we're not a tournament team. We wouldn't even be close to getting in based on RPI, et cetera. So, but we still got plenty of baseball to go. And, you know, UTSA, South Florida – again, I don't know what they did this weekend, but they're projected to be in by a lot of people. So we still have plenty of opportunity to get ourselves to be in position to win the conference still, to be an at-large team still. I hope we don't end up in a situation where we have to go to Clearwater and win the conference tournament. But if that's the situation we find ourselves in come late May, then it is what it is.
Yeah. It looks like Memphis beat South Florida. I think Memphis is 1-8 in the conference. They beat them today. I don't know about yesterday. And Charlotte beat Wichita State. And that's all I'm seeing from the updates from that.
You see a UTSA score?
No. I don't have it up here for some reason.
All right. I'll see what I can find out.
Yeah, well, and another thing is, you know, you guys, I don't know if you've seen, which they don't amount to anything right now, but the early projections have us as a 3 seed. What do you guys think about that? Is that fair? A 3 seed?
In the the thing that came out this week about their
D1 baseball had us as a 3 seed at Coastal. We won't be this week. We won't be in the field this week. I mean, as of last week, that was fair. At this point, yeah, if we unless we get red hot and just start blowing the doors off and beating everybody we play, then, yeah, if we make it in as an at-large as a 3 or win the conference tournament and get in as a 3, then it is what it is. Now, if we get hot like we did a couple years ago and go on like a 23-game winning streak, then who the hell knows what could happen that year. That year, if everybody remembers, you know, just 2 years ago, we were a bubble team and suddenly we hosted because we just started winning.
Exactly.
I don't know that this team has that in them, but time will tell.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a fight all year. I really do, unless all of a sudden that something clicks and they figure it out. But something's missing this year. You know, something's not clicking like it normally does. We did lose a lot of guys, but I think it's going to be a fight, to be honest, to even get into the regional. I think they got the ability, but, you know, dropping 3 in a row is not going to help anything, obviously.
No doubt about it. Put your questions and comments up in the comments section. We'd love to have you. If you have a question for Landis, if you have a question for Kyle, maybe he knows more about Billy's nuts. But if you have a question, then you can put Nut House and can't, right? Billy's Nut House and Candy Company, right?
Yep, Billy's the House Candy Company. Yes, sir.
Yeah. So make sure to look out for Landis there. Give him a like on Facebook, too. We're trying to help Landis out. He's been very good, added a lot to Extra Innings this year. Appreciate having him on every week. And looking ahead, we're talking about
– UTSA took 2 out of 3 from UAB. So I believe that makes them – 8-2 in league play, I believe. So I think UTSA would be first in the league. And I think us in South Florida would be tied for second, and Florida Atlantic would be third, I believe.
I'm looking at the – I guess these are updated, but it's got UTSA 7-2 at number one. Is it eight? It could not be updated.
Keep going. I'll tell you if it's been updated.
Yeah, it's got UTSA at the top, 7-2. South Florida at the top, 7-2. Then us, ECU at 6-3. Charlotte 6-3. So that's a huge weekend actually coming up. Then Florida Atlantic's 5-4 now. But out of all of those, Florida Atlantic has the second best overall schedule.
Yes, it's been updated. Yes. Okay, so all right, so us and Charlotte are tied for third. Interesting. So yeah, very big series this weekend.
Yeah, to stay in the conference space. Speaking of guys who were talking about, the conference, if we want to continue to have a shot at winning the conference as far as the regular season goes, then there's definitely a must win this weekend, and then we'll have UAB the following weekend. So we've got some work ahead of us, but. The good news is, guys, we do have the talent to win. The question is, will we win? The consistency, as we've talked about a number of weeks over and over again. But that just comes down to talent. And you can practice all you want. You can practice 24 hours a day. You can do all the hitting you want, all the pitching you want to do. But the only way they're going to learn, I know Saturday, like we were talking about, we're not happy with the ERA of 16. But a lot of these young guys it's a really big deal right now. How much of the situation is where maybe these moments are really big for them because they're so young, Landis? Not trying to make excuses, just wondering. You've been there, we haven't. So, like, is it playing at home that's like hard because the crowd is so awesome? But is it intimidating for them? I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably a double-edged sword where. You get in there and hit a home run or strike out 19 in a row, everybody loves you. You're going to be on the internet. Everybody's talking about you. But if you don't, then it's like, oh, God, everybody saw that. So it's definitely – and I don't care how good you get. It can always get to you, the crowd. It can always – all the way up to the Yankees, think about it. They'll boo their players in a heartbeat. So it will get to you for sure. The only way to get through it is just kind of the – wear it and just keep moving forward because baseball has a way of evening out if you play it long enough. You might hit 2-3 balls hard as ever, hit them the best you can, and you line out and get out. You hit them, you might have 3 home runs robbed, and then you get up there and you get jammed on 3 and you hit a little blooper over shortstop for 3 hits. So baseball's got a way of evening out. So, but I think to answer your question, yeah, most definitely. It's that's what I'm saying. If they were winning, if they won 3 games this weekend, they're loose. It's kind of whatever. But when you get tight with baseball, you start second guessing everything. That's when it gets really hard and it's definitely mostly a mental game.
Most. Yeah, I'll tell you something. I don't like looking at our schedule, and we only have 2 home series left: Tulane and UTSA. So we play, I don't see how this is possible, but unless the schedule's wrong, we play at UAB, we play at Charlotte, we play at South Florida, and at UAB.
South State.
Yeah, how is that possible? Because we've only had home series in conference against Memphis and Florida Atlantic, correct?
Sounds right, yeah.
How the hell do we only have – my math ain't mathing.
No, Rice was there.
Yeah, Rice was at Rice, yeah. Yeah, my math ain't mathing. I don't – shouldn't the home and away series be equal? I mean, how many – goddamn, I don't – we have an uneven amount of teams in conference play now. The damn league's changed so much.
It's 14 teams, right? But I don't know how many.
No, nah, it's not 14 in baseball.
Not in baseball. It's more like 8 or 9. That's right.
Yeah. So, anyway, we have several conference series to go, but only 2 of them at home. So that's a little alarming there.
I'll take a look at it while y'all talk.
Yeah. And again, I guess the goal is going to be, win as many conference – obviously, win as many conference games as you can and get in that tournament because – once you get in the tournament, we've seen it, the four, even if they're a 4 seed, you can get hot, you can get in there, you can get right, everything can click at the right time. When I was in Conley, we got beat. We were number one team in the state. We got beat by 118 by 17 runs in the middle of the season. And then we lost like three games in a row, and everything was terrible. The world was crashing down, right? And then all of a sudden, we got into the conference tournament, and we swept the state, won the state championship. But if you had asked us a month before that, everything was great, everything was terrible, and everything was great. So baseball's got a way of doing that. So
it's
you know.
It's 10 teams, so that means we don't play ourselves. So it's 9 teams in the league. So that means there would probably be 5. It could be 5 away series and 4 home. I don't
know. Yeah, that's it. We have Memphis home, Florida Atlantic home, UAB home, or Memphis home, Florida Atlantic home, UTSA home, and Tulane home. And then the other 5 are on the road. And we still have 4 of those left to go on the road, and only 2 of them are home. So it is what it is. But
Landis can probably speak to it. It may be that it may be good to get away when you're having a tough time. Maybe that's what we need is a brotherhood. I don't know, where you're like, you don't have the distractions of your girlfriend or your buddies you can hang out with, and you can go home and sleep in your bed. You kind of have no choice but to be with your fellow brothers on the baseball team.
Well, they're Road Warriors.
Yeah.
And coaches used to say that to us. They're like, look, we're going to be in away this weekend. It actually take a load off your mind, because really all you got to do is just go to the hotel and then get up and go play ball, then go back to the hotel. So
I say, Coach Guy wants you to show Landis that means step on. You finish your thought, but then I'll have something to say.
No, I was just saying, like, sometimes going on the road can kind of take the stress out of it. It can be like, especially when you're not playing maybe in front of a lot of people. I don't know. But I know going on the road sometimes all you had to worry about was just, okay, make sure you got everything to get on the bus, right? Guys leave stuff all the time. But make sure you got everything to get on the bus. Go to the hotel, get up in the morning, go practice. You know, it can take some of the extra off to where you're just focusing on, you know, the game. So maybe that'll work for them. They're gonna have to, if they want to do their goal of winning in the postseason, they're gonna have to play on the road anyway this year, I believe. Unless they win.
Good point. So maybe the guys should paint their faces up like Hawk and Animal from the Road Warriors and just put on spiked shoulder pads as they come out. Everybody should change their entrance music to Iron Man or either What a Rush.
Yeah.
Some people have no idea what the hell I'm talking about. If you don't, I know you know what I'm talking about. But some of the kids out there, just folks that never like wrestling, might not have a clue what I'm talking about. I mean, you make a good point, Landis. We are, you know, the conference tournament is going to be neutral site, but it's a rose on the road in Clearwater. And if we, you know, are lucky enough to make it into the NCAA tournament, or not, I shouldn't say lucky enough, if we are able to perform well enough to make it to the NCAA tournament, you know, we're going to be on the road for the regionals and super regionals. Getting, you know, having to win these games on the road now would only prepare us for the postseason if we're lucky enough to make it past Clearwater. So you make a good point there.
You know, guys, this season is so crazy that we could be on the road in a regional. One of the national seeds gets upset, and then all of a sudden, next thing you know, we're hosting a super regional. It's that kind of crazy year that, you know, like you have no – that's what makes college sports so great. It's not feeling great in the right now, but if we knew how all the games were going to play out, then why would you watch it? Why would you go to the game?
Oh, sure. I mean, who would have thought last year in football that, you know, when we were 2 and whatever the hell we were going into the Temple game, that Coach Harrell, well, besides me, I predicted it, but Coach Harrell was going to go on a winning streak and we were going to only lose one more game and beat NC State in the bowl game. Of course, I did predict all that, so somebody did know it, but besides me.
I didn't
know. You're just promised. So,
I did predict it. Go back. I did. I told everybody, hide and watch. I had a feeling. Unfortunately, I don't have that feeling yet for baseball.
Well, that's the thing is, you know what? I know that my glass is half full. People say I'm blindly optimistic. Maybe that's what this team needs is nobody's counting on them. So there's no pressure. Maybe Landis, they're playing with house money, so they go out there. And you made the great point you said several times, that's because you are a baseball player, you know, you played at the pro level. even around the world, that it's like the same way with football or basketball. The one similarity is if you're playing tight, you're playing not to lose. You're, oh my God, if I make a mistake. Yeah. And I tell my son all the time, baseball is a game, and he's too serious. So instead of having to, you don't have to motivate him. If it's a rec game, if it's a middle school game, whatever, a travel ball game, you have to tell him, hey, it's just a game. Go out there, have fun, have fun. Don't, like, in other words, are they too in their head, like, analytical? I don't need to bring my son up a lot. He'll kill me. But it just seems like they're thinking. In other words, instead of, like, it being second nature, Landis, it's like things that they, this routine for this club over the years, maybe now the guys, the lack of confidence, I don't know. And you start second, like you said earlier, you start second guessing yourself.
Yeah. It's just, it's so mental that if you get it in your head that, oh God, we can't do this. We can't lose this weekend or this is going to happen. And it will play like it. And it's easy. It's not easy to just snap out of it, to be honest with you. So again, what they can do, they can, you got to have a short memory in baseball. You know, that's a classic term that many coaches have told me. You got to have a short memory. You got to let it just forget about it. And it's easier said than done. And the really good ones can do that. The ones who, you know, the ones who can kind of just wash it out of their head and not worry about it are the good ones. But, you know, that's one thing I liked about playing all the time. Like college, you play three games and typically take a day off and play a day off or, you know, maybe one game midweek. You know, in the minors, you play all day, every day for months, maybe have a Monday off. And it gives you – I liked it because, okay, we've been swept for the past five games, but we're playing tomorrow and we can change it around. So
right.
That's the hard thing about it is kind of going home and thinking about it. And now this day and age with all the social media and all the internet, and especially in Greenville, everyone's talking about it, you know.
How good is it to piggyback off of what you're saying? You know, even though we have a couple days off to think about it, is it a negative or a positive having NC State next?
I think it's a positive because if you, like you said earlier, if you come around and beat NC State, oh, you beat NC State. You're next thing you know, UCU baseball's back. So now, you know, I think
go away again really quick if we lose the series to Charlotte.
I think Charlotte's the big concern here. If I was Coach Godwin, I'd be like, we got to win Charlotte because now obviously Charlotte's a contender in the conference, and you got to get to the – we got to find a way in the regional. You got to find a way in. State, I think that's got to beat State by, like, 10 runs. I think that would really boost everything.
10 runs.
You know what I mean? Like,
that run will work.
Yeah.
It's even better.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes it's even better to beat somebody like State by one run who's walking off.
True. Just a great game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, non-ECU related, but baseball related. You talked about minor leagues. You spoke before about playing in the Frontier League, or I think it was the Can-Am League at the time, which merged with the Frontier League. Frontier League baseball coming to Eastern North Carolina with the Down East Bird Dogs coming up here in May, about a month away from now. What is your thoughts on that level of baseball? It's not, you know, it's minor league ball, but not directly affiliated with any Major League Baseball teams. Frontier League is a partner league to Major League Baseball. They boast of sending more players to Major League organizations than any other independent baseball league. So you played in, I believe, the Can-Am, which merged with Frontier. What are your thoughts on that level of baseball? Compare it to single A, double A, triple A. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I was in the Frontier League to start with the River City Rascals, and we would have guys get released out of double A and immediately come to our team. It's like, I'll be honest with you, some of the best ball players I've ever seen were in that and played in the Frontier League. And I would consider it single A because literally guys would get released from single A, double A, triple A, and then get signed right with us like the next day. So you would be playing and then a guy would get picked up. He just got released out of triple A throwing like 98, you know? So you get guys who are young, who maybe didn't play at like a D1 level, who come in and all of a sudden they're hitting 98 off a guy who was in AAA last year. Like, it's really interesting. I played for they were called the Rockland Boulders. I think they're the New York Boulders now. I played there in the Can-Am League, and that was considered like a AA. It wasn't double A, don't get me wrong, but we had guys who I was the only guy on the team who'd never been drafted, put it that way. And we had guys who were in the big leagues on the team, get moved around, stuff like that. I mean, in the big leagues like a month ago. So the talent's still the same when I was playing, which was like 2012 to 2015. I mean, it was guys could play. Like it's almost like you get to a point where everybody's kind of the same level. You just kind of got to get the timing right. You know, everybody's kind of at that point where everybody's the same talent to a degree, but the timing's kind of who gets picked up and who keeps going. But I think it's going to be good. I don't know. I mean, recently, I guess the guys are still – I mean, I feel like baseball's gotten even better talent-wise the past 10 years anyway. So I feel like it's going to be a good thing. I think it's going to fit well there. I think the fans are going to like it because it's – these guys are really trying to make it to the next level, and a lot of them are really good, to be honest. Like I said, some guys, I mean, there are several big leaguers you would see. I think Pablo Sandoval is now playing in the Atlantic League. I played in the Atlantic League for a bit, too. And, nice. You know what I mean? Like, guy, I mean, he has two World Series titles. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The Wood Ducks never really seemed to catch on. And, you know, minor league baseball affiliate, I always kind of felt, and I think a lot of other people did, they were just here for a short time, and they were. And now with the McRae's, the owners of Bojangles, the people that owned the Indians when they sold them that became the new Mudcats, they're back involved. So I'm living in between LaGrange and Snow Hill. I'm close to Kinston, so I'm very optimistic, looking forward to it. I think it's something that, if they can draw, we'll stay. You don't have to worry about it looking for a new home, a bigger market. You know, if Eastern North Carolina will support it, it can do well. You know, I looked at some of their marketing ideas. I like some of them, some I don't. I think with minor league baseball, obviously you got to put a good product on the field, but I think you got to be creative with marketing. And, you know, one thing I'd like to see them do is the food at the Wood Duck games was absolutely horse shit. And I'm sorry if anybody in Kinston is offended by that. If anybody was involved with it.
What did you say?
Huh?
I could not hear you. Can you repeat yourself, sir? What did you say?
Oh, I said the food at the Wood Ducks games was absolute horse shit. So I hope, I'm hoping, with the McRae's involvement, you'll have Bojangles in there, obviously. But what I'd like to see done, is some of these restaurants in Kinston, the downtown. Kinston's trying to do something with their downtown area. There's a few good restaurants down there. Not so much food trucks, have them in the stadium as the food vendors, you know, where, you know, it's not only going to be good for the Frontier, for the Bird Dogs, because you're going to have, not just your typical stadium food, you're going to have some restaurant quality food in there, which should bring some people out. It's going to help these businesses, you know, somebody who hadn't tried, Sugar Hill Pizza in downtown Kinston, or haven't tried Tundra Town ice cream in downtown Kinston, or pick a spot. People from out of town get a chance to try them. Mother Earth Brewing, great beer and spirits. You know, I prefer their alcohol. I'm not a big beer guy, but yeah, they make their own bourbon and gin and everything else. And
I got one for you, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, but the point is, hold on, Dave. The point is, if you put the stuff in there, make it a place to be, to hang out on Friday and Saturday night and Sundays that you want to be, versus, you know, for the casual baseball fan, or for people who don't like baseball, make it somewhere fun to be, like minor league baseball used to be in Kinston back in the 90s. But go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I just had one trying to help Landis out. Why not Billy's House Nut?
You go. Yeah. That would be with your baseball background, sell those at Granger Stadium. Yeah. That's a great idea.
That's awesome, actually. That's I've been thinking about that too. I'd love to know who to talk to with that.
I can help you.
I'll see if I can.
I know.
Okay, he knows. Dave knows. All right, Dave.
That's an awesome. Easy. Yeah. And they have a great venue there. I love the right field, the whole pavilion. Me and my girlfriend Whitney go there. We love going up there and watching the game and just sitting back watching the game. Like it's I love the whole.
Yeah, it's a great old stadium in downtown Kinston, close to downtown Kinston, in Kinston. And, you know, stadium's been there since Jesus was a boy. And it's got old school charm to it. And, you know, they, like you said, they built that pavilion. And I hope it succeeds. I really do. I think it's vital. Not only for Eastern North Carolina. I know technically the Mudcats will be moving to Eastern North Carolina over to Wilson from Zebulon. But you're still roughly in the I-95 corridor there with Wilson, but this is truly Eastern North Carolina, and minor league baseball and Kinston are synonymous, have been my whole life. And so I really hope the Bird Dogs succeed. And if anybody with the Bird Dogs happens to hear this and wants to reach out, we'll be happy to help y'all promote it, as we're doing now for free. So, it's something that I really hope is successful for Eastern, not just Kinston, but all of Eastern North Carolina.
I had a question for you guys, too, that's been on my mind. Speaking of Wilson taking over the Carolina Mudcats, they started in 1991 there at Five County Stadium. Is there another team that can come there, or is it going to be more of a college summer league kind of thing? Because
Five County Stadium's a nice stadium. I don't know. You'd be competing with Wilson, which, you know, Zebulon's relatively close to Wilson. You're already in that market. You're competing with the Durham Bulls to an extent. I don't know. I could see perhaps a single. I don't know, man. That close to Wilson, I think they're going to be looking collegiate league or something again, like Frontier League, Independent Baseball League, to come there. I could be wrong. Glenn, is if the Appalachian League still existed as a minor league baseball affiliate league, I could see that. But I think they've taken – Major League Baseball has taken all their rookie league stuff and put it overseas, haven't they?
I'm not sure.
I don't know. They had that. I know that league. Didn't they make that league more
that
like –
That league's a collegiate league now.
Yeah.
It used to be a rookie league.
Yeah.
You had the Burlington Royals and the Danville Braves. And
it was really cool. I like that league. But anyway, just wondering, for those in the Triangle area or Zebulon area, if you know anything, let us know, because that's something that I love that stadium, and they had a lot of stuff on Facebook this week about.
I bought a Jeep in Zebulon not long ago. They've really – it's a nice-looking little town now. Remember, Zebulon used to just kind of be a dump, but I guess as people can't afford to or don't want to live in Raleigh, they've migrated out towards Zebulon, and it's a nice-looking little town now.
So we lost all the Zebulon sponsors now.
No, I just said it's a nice looking little town now. It's complete opposite.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I remember this, and we'll move on. I remember Five County Stadium. I don't know if you guys remember. It was more like a high school stadium when they first started. It was really bad. The trailers and the like high school like stadium bleachers. And basically at that time, the Sally League told them that, hey, if you don't get yourself together, build a nice stadium, we're going to kick you out of the league. And I mean, even when Michael Jordan came through with the Birmingham Barons, they double A, they actually played when we went there to watch Michael out in the outfield. But anyway, they really upped my point was they really upped their game. They have a great stadium. And if I'm a minor league team, I would give it a look, because you never know.
Well, that's a lot of competition to have a team. Have a team of Wilson. I think. I really don't care. They can do what they want to.
I'll tell you this. I don't know that. I'll tell you this right now. I don't know. The people I talk to in Wilson, I'm not so sure how many people are actually happy with that move to Wilson. They love the Wilson Cobbs. They're wondering what's going to go on there with the Coastal Plain League team.
Maybe the Tobbs moved to Five County. I don't know. I see what you're saying, but you're talking about building a ballpark in downtown Wilson.
There was talk
at one point also of building an amphitheater in downtown Wilson. Do you know if that's still happening? You're the one with the Wilson ties, Dave.
I don't know any. I haven't. I know what you're talking about. I haven't heard any more. It was going to be what, near the Whirligig Park?
Yeah, I think so.
Somewhere around there. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'll have to ask. The thing that's dropped, but what I'm and with the Wilson folks,
How the hell did Wilson get? You'll see why. I just combined two words. How did Wilson get a Culver's? Of all, like, we're going to come to Eastern North Carolina, like Greenville, Jacksonville. Now let's try Wilson for our test market for Eastern North Carolina. How did that happen?
I don't know, but I will tell you this, that there are people that are upset. Another reason why. not to get deep in the weeds, but they're upset because basically the city council just said, hey, we're going to up your taxes so we can get the stadium. And everybody's like, that didn't help. And then there were people that already, there's a sentimental thing going on with the Tobbs. And there's a lot of people on Facebook that are praying that like the Tobbs stay. And there's been some drama there. I don't know how much.
The thing would have been to do would have been to embrace the lineage with the Tobbs, paid whoever is, you know, owns the Tobbs for the Coastal Plain League some money, bought the name and made their minor league team the Wilson Tobbs. That would have just made too much sense. But
yeah,
people don't have enough sense to do anything that makes sense.
I hadn't thought about it. That's not a bad idea.
That was my first one I heard about that. I was like, that's what you do to combine both and not alienate a fan base that's been supporting a collegiate league. You know, Wilson Tobbs at one point, if I'm not mistaken, back when, you know, Dave, when you were a young man, were a minor league baseball team.
I appreciate your, in fact, Rocky Mountain had a team, Greenville had a team, the Greenville Greenies. That's where the Yard Gnomes played. So it was like there was every Eastern North Carolina town, or a lot of them had minor league because baseball was the sport. If you think about the NBA, NFL, it just wasn't there back then. It wasn't until more of our generation that things started to really click for.
Well, also back then, Dave, baseball was played in the Northeast, in the big cities, the Northeast, Chicago, in the Midwest, and then you had your California expansion. And then the Braves eventually did move to Atlanta. But, you know, even growing up, the only team in the South was Atlanta until the Florida teams came along in the 90s. So all the minor league teams, you know, they played the major league baseballs in the big cities, and all minor league baseball was played in the Southeast, you know, back in the 50s, 60s, and even through the 70s. And that's changed over the years.
No doubt. Let's get some comments real quick, guys, while we have it. John White says, UNC Charlotte is a concern. Landis is right. Their number one is one of the best in league and country. Need to get that game to not feel worse, especially if North Carolina State doesn't go our way. Bobby says, anyone think the Diamondbacks were tired this weekend? Fly back from Houston. Game Tuesday at UNCW. Back at Greenville for Elon on Wednesday. A day off and then three games versus FAU.
Land to speak to that.
That definitely could be the case. Most definitely. Especially looking at the numbers with the pitchers. I think it was a 6 ERA Friday, 6 ERA Sunday, 16. So that I'm just doing that in my head. That's probably a 12 ERA over the weekend. So that most definitely is it, especially flying. You know, I think everybody's traveled some and it will wear you out. But then again, you know, that's part of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's traveling at some point. So they definitely could have been tired. I think Coach Godwin made the comment they looked tired. I think of the after the game today and that they were going to get tougher. So, I mean, that could definitely be it. But I hate that as an excuse, to be honest with you. That they
were tired. Playing at home because, you know, I'm pretty sure they Florida Atlantic just flew from Boca.
Yeah, they're from Boca. They were in Boca, too. And they were fired up. I'll tell you what, they were having a great time. I was at the game.
Were also a little desperate this weekend. As you mentioned, Landon, their RPI is good. They've had one of the tougher schedules in the league. Their overall record is good, and they started off slow in league play. So they were also kind of – they were playing for their conference life this weekend.
Yeah.
And they were playing with a sense of urgency that maybe we weren't playing with.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think in baseball, you got to find that sense of urgency before every game, you know, and that's the hard thing. They got swept, and I think it was close games at the end, which they came in here, and they knew, you know, ECU for the past 3 or 4 years has been the top dog, and they're the top dog in the league this year, and they knew they would have to come in here and do it. And I think they came on – I think it was – they came blazing, to be honest with you. They were they came ready to play. So perfect condition.
I think if you win Friday night, you probably shatter their confidence, and it's probably completely different yesterday, which would have led to a different today. I think they're a good baseball team that got that W Friday night, gave them a lot of confidence. They played with a sense of urgency the rest of the weekend because they dug a hole in conference play, and we did not match their intensity.
Yeah, it's almost like whenever ECU kind of got relaxed, that's when they jumped on you. Like today, when they got relaxed a bit in the third inning, it was like a boom, 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 all of a sudden, then it's over.
Yep. We're not good enough to relax.
Yeah, I agree.
Or just experience. By the way, Jeff Collins says, I saw Barry Bonds at Five County Stadium once back in the day.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Explain that.
What?
Why was Bonds at Five County Stadium?
That's a good question, because he was in the 80s. He was with Pittsburgh, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about him and Bobby Bonilla together in the early 90s, around the time the Mudcats came on the scene, so I don't...
He may have been...
injured? An injury? Like a rehabilitation type thing?
Yeah, because they were, I believe, early on, they were... I know they were with the Marlins, but I believe they were with the Pirates at one point, AA. Off the top of my head, I think that's right. So maybe that explains... That would be in the very, very early days of...
Yeah, but still, it would have had to have been Bonds recouping an injury because he was in the major leagues already. Yeah. I believe his first year with the Pirates was 86 or 87.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when the Pirates were very good.
Yeah, him and Bobby Bonilla together. Oh, my God. I used to call them the Black Bash Brothers because you had Canseco and McGuire were the Bash Brothers. Oh, yeah. So I used to refer to – and that's, if anybody takes that, it's racist, kiss my ass. I called Bonds and Bonilla the Black Bash Brothers.
I'm looking at – I just typed it in Google. It said, on May 11th, 1992, the Pittsburgh Pirates, featuring a young Barry Bonds, defeated the Carolina Mudcats 4-1 in an MLB exhibition game.
Oh, that's freaking awesome.
Yeah, because they were a Pirates affiliate.
Why don't they do that anymore? How packed was that stadium to see Barry Bonds, Bobby Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke, Derek Drake? I mean, those were all the Pirates during that time.
An episode about it on the Mudcats 30 video series.
All right. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. In fact,
Landis, did you know that East Carolina used to play exhibition games for the Kinston Indians back when Coach Overton was the head coach?
Really?
Yep.
Not know that. We actually played, when I was in Little Rock, we played against the Arkansas Travelers AA team as an exhibition game. That was 2009.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
We lost, but we actually hit like 2 or 3 home runs against them.
Nice.
I called against them. It was like an exhibition game. They threw everybody. We were trying to beat them. Don't get me wrong, but that
kind of stuff's fun. That needs to be done more and more in college baseball. I remember right after, unless I made this up in my head, maybe somebody else will remember this. I believe after the Virginia Tech shooting, am I making this up? Was the first game after Virginia Tech shooting a baseball game? Did they play the Yankees in an exhibition game in Blacksburg? Or am I just making that up in my head? I don't see where I would have just dreamt that up.
That was April of 2007, I believe, off the top of my head.
What's that, the shooting?
Yeah.
Okay, so that does make sense that the Yankees would have came and played them in an exhibition game.
It says George Steinbrenner donated $1 million to the Spirit Memorial Fund, and then they played in 2000.
Yeah, is that off memory, or are you Googling that?
No, I'm Googling that. That's not off memory.
Okay, and so when did they – what was the date they played them?
It said – so the shooting happened in 2007, then George Steinbrenner donated $1 million to Hokie Spirit Memorial Fund and played an exhibition game against Virginia Tech March 2008 as a gesture to help bring some healing.
Okay. There you go. So it wasn't the first – in fact, we played them before then in football, but that was, I remember something about that, so there you go.
What's up, Shale? How you doing from the Queen City? And Jeff Collins says he saw Barry standing in the concession line to get a bait can of fries.
I've noticed Barry Bonds doing a lot of podcasts lately. Have y'all listened to him lately? He's been talking a lot about. I've seen a lot on my feed and stuff about all kinds of stuff. It's really interesting.
He's a guy now that Kyle that you know he was like if you do the wrestling. Here's another pro wrestling thing. He kind of started out, I felt like, in Pittsburgh as a babyface, and then when by the time he got
heel because all the steroids and human growth went wrong.
But Landis, do you feel like that he seems? I know the older we get, the more mellow we get, but I really feel like I could be wrong, but I really feel like he's fighting really hard to be a babyface now. I've seen him in interviews on television. He's very laid back, friendly. Not the Barry Bonds that we knew with the Giants. Not the arrogance. He seems to be more. I don't know if the term laid back, but for me, what I'm getting
is probably what you're looking for.
Yes. Yes. The humility. And I know I'm going to start a debate here that I don't want to start, but Barry Bonds, all the guys, All the guys that did steroids should be in the Hall of Fame. Every one of them.
Well, I'm kind of I'll agree and disagree. I say we have a asterisk and put them in the Hall of Fame. The performance enhancement era of baseball. Put in your Bonds, your Maguires, your Roger Clemens,
Sammy Sosa,
and then have just acknowledge it. You have a performance enhancement wing of the. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I say put them all in together. I don't know. What do y'all think about that? Is that idiotic?
How can Roger Clemens not? I don't care. He may be a jerk, but he's a good pitcher.
Well, the argument would be everybody was using during that time. So what's the difference? You still had to be that good, but they weren't because guys like Ken Griffey Jr., would have been the home run king of the 90s if it wasn't for performance enhancers with Bonds and McGuire. I think natural ability. Landis, you agree with that?
I don't know where the line's drawn with performance enhancing. You know what I'm saying? It evolves. Like the guys from 100 years ago didn't have Gatorade and stuff. I know it's kind of dramatic, sure. But you know what I'm saying? I think as time goes on, they find ways to adjust their bodies to health. So I think Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. I think he's the best hitter ever, in my opinion.
Do you think without human growth hormone, he got bigger the older he got? Do you think guys the same with Sosa and McGuire? Do you think if everything was equal and everybody did it natural like Griffey Jr., is rumored to have done? Do you think they would have passed Griffey Jr. in home runs?
I don't know what to say. I just feel like Barry Bonds, the older he got, the better he got at hitting, just coordination-wise.
Do you see that in Landis? Do you see guys typically get better at things when they're in their 40s? Like 30?
The older I got, the better I got at hitting, to be honest with you.
Right, but at some point, doesn't it taper off? I mean, are you as good now as you were when you were playing?
No, because I don't do it all the time. But I still go out there and hit BP, and I can hit it pretty well. But I don't do it all the time. It's almost like it hitting, the more you do it, the more a lot of pitching you see. If you do it for 10 years in your 30s, you're going to be pretty good at it. Especially if you're DH and now catching, you're going to have a decline because it's kind of
– Right, your knees.
I think – yeah, my opinion is that the way I say it is like this. Barry Bonds, with or without the human growth hormone, is one of the best. Like Landis said, he's one of the best hitters ever. If you give me the human growth hormone right now, I still can't hit a home run. And that's the thing that makes me crazy about the
whole. I believe in you, Dave.
That's a great thing about the argument, people say, is like, yes, I know that it wasn't allowed. I understand all that. But here's another thing that baseball does not talk about. They knew that it was going on.
Sure they did.
They were selling a lot of tickets, and so they're hypocritical now not to bring the – when they had the baseball stoppage, no World Series in 1994, a game that I love dearly, and you don't have a World Series, you have a work stoppage. And then in 98 – it took a few years. And then in 98 when they had
the Sosa McGuire battle, yeah.
Yeah, when they had that battle going on, it was very fun. It was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And
there are people that say that single-handedly brought baseball back.
Yeah.
I was like 14 when it was going on. It's all I watched.
I watched a lot of baseball that year.
That was summer of 98. I mean, yeah. I was 17, Landis. I wasn't much older than you.
Yeah.
So that's what I was saying. It sold a lot of tickets. And again,
WGN. We had the Cubs on WGN back then. You could watch Sosa every damn night.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I missed the. You know how I feel about that, Kyle. I miss the superstition.
Me too.
Anyway, another thing is, I'll get off my baseball Hall of Fame thing, but Pete Rose, put him in there now. Put him in there.
Pete didn't even want to be in posthumously. He didn't. So if you come put him in while he's alive, he said, screw him, I'm dead.
And now now everybody's sponsored by DraftKings, a gambling site. I love DraftKings. Don't get me wrong.
Pete Rose is one of the best players I've ever seen. He was my my hero back in the day because he was so good. And I didn't even pull. Here's the thing: I didn't even pull for the Phillies or the Reds. Right? My uncle had different teams that he was managing or coaching. That's who I pull for. But my favorite player was Pete Rose for a reason, because he was really good. And, you know, the thing that Ty Cobb is a racist, he was horrible as a person, but he deserves.
I would venture to say that back in the 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, I bet a lot of baseball players were racist.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that my point is that one, he's one of the greats, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And Pete Rose is not perfect. I'm not trying to say that Pete Rose is a choir boy, but Lawrence Taylor raped a 15-year-old girl. He's in the Hall of Fame. Mickey Mantle, he drank a lot. You know, I mean, you could start if you. Start,
I mean, it's bad enough Lawrence Taylor went to Carolina and he's in the Hall of Fame, let alone raping a 15-year-old girl.
I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying there's a lot of people that have done bad things in their personal life and they're in the Hall of Fame. And so I think Pete Rose should be in. But anyway, I don't want to keep dwelling on that.
He's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yes, he is. That's right.
Pete Rose is. And Lawrence Taylor, I don't think he is, and he wrestled a match in the WWE. Oddly enough, we bring those two together again.
What do you guys got for
I agree with you on Pete Rose. He should be in the Hall of Fame. I think that's the whole damn thing. I don't think you can find – I think you could survey 100 people. I think 99 out of 100 would say Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
And who's keeping him out? Is it the votes?
He's banned from baseball. It's a lifetime ban.
Manfred could – look, this is the thing about baseball that drives me crazy. They're their own worst enemy when it comes to the Hall of Fame to begin with. I actually like Cooperstown.
He's not eligible for the Hall of Fame, Landis.
By the way, I'll speak highly – let me speak nicely to the Hall of Fame, because my great-uncle, Roger Craig, God bless his soul, he died when we were at the Virginia Regional back in – was that 22? But anyway, we were at the Regional. We were getting ready to lose that second game to Virginia, and my uncle passed away right about the same time. He's eligible again for the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall of Fame. The guy has, I mean, he was actually 38 years in the league. There's a lot of guys like him that gave a good portion of their life to the league. And this whole baseball writer's arrogance to get into the Hall of Fame that hurts baseball. And baseball needs a lot of help. And it'll take more. I'll put it to you this way. It'll take more than a pitch clock to help baseball out. And I'm not negative towards baseball because I love baseball. But if you want young people to watch it, you got to have gimmicks. You got to have things, you know, to do. And to me, if you put Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame and different ones that are not in there, like the Sosas, the Maguires, there's a lot of them that deserve.
The young people to watch it then?
Well, I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that.
They put in people that I've never heard of that'll get the young people.
Well, I'm just saying.
No, I agree with you. I think that's what
I'm just saying. They get like they're looking at gimmicks like a pitch clock to help the game. When I don't know that that helps I don't think.
No, it doesn't get any damn. They want to speed the game up, thinking that's going to get people more interested. You're not going to. If you want to create new baseball fans, this is what you do. You create stars. Stars is always going to be what brings people into professional sports. You need to create more stars. You need to market players. Yes, you got to market players. You got to build them up. They got to have personalities. That's how you get new fans. You got to create stars. People want to turn on their TV to see Ken Griffey Jr. or Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds or Nolan Ryan or Roger Clemens. Right. That's what you need. That's how Major League Baseball, you know, becomes more and more popular. You create household names, you create stars, and you market the hell out of these people. And that's, in my opinion, what Major League Baseball has missed over the last 20 years. I mean, you've had Derek Jeter, you've had A-Rod, who's the five biggest names in baseball? Go.
Ohtani.
Mike Trout.
Yeah, but you played, man. I mean, that's not fair. You're going to, but yeah, go ahead. Let's see, Dave, name the five biggest players in baseball.
So I would say Soto's up there, Mike Trout. Let's see who else. Ohtani, like you said, there's a few more that I'll have to rattle off here in a second. I'm thinking of.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, Landis, you play. Who would you say the five biggest? I mean, you'll be able to do it easy.
I'd say Ohtani. I'd say Soto just because he signed $765 million, which I like him. Bryce Harper is a guy who always has a – if I'm thinking of stardom. Who else here?
I got my son, Alex, he's actually playing the show right now. I'll let him give his five, and I'll be right back. I'll tell you about it. Go ahead. Tell us your five. Who's your five favorite right now?
Number five, I would say right now, I would say.
Yeah, you know five players.
It's like super.
Yeah. See, when you were 12 years old, any 12-year-old when we were growing up could name 55 baseball players at the drop of the hat. That's the problem. That's what you want Major League Baseball to get popular again. They got to create stars. They got to make them household names. And people have to know who they are. I mean, and it's really that simple. That's how you know, not that Major League Baseball's struggling and nobody's watching it, but to get it to the level it was before, you have to have household names like we used to.
Yeah. And there was guys hitting 60 home runs, four or five of them at a time.
Yeah. But even before that, though, I mean, still, you had stars. I mean, everybody, you know, Don Mattingly, Wade Boggs, these weren't superpower guys. Everybody knew who the hell they were. I mean, and that's what we're missing now.
And Kyle, I was going to add to just what you were talking about earlier, to add to your point. One of the reasons why, I'll tell you another thing, guys. One of the reasons why we have trouble now.
But ask him, can Alice name five freaking Pokemon figures? I bet he can.
he's playing. What's funny is right behind me, he's playing his PlayStation in my room. Yeah. He's playing the show right now.
Well, that's because he likes the game. But just for Major League Baseball, they have to create stars.
Here's what I was going to say is that you alluded to something that I think is a problem is that, and we won't go back to it. So, but when we had the super stations going on.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Yeah, WOR. You could watch the Mets every day. You could watch
TBS. You had the Braves every day. WGN. You had the Cubs every day. Yeah.
Before when we were growing up, I mean, I knew the Braves, but the reason why the Braves got popular is because of the Superstation
and TBS.
The Cubs. And the Cubs with WGN. I mean, and then you had like those, and then you saw like because you had home team sports had the Orioles.
Sure.
You had all these.
Yeah, of course, but still at the same time, and maybe because of that, you kept up with everybody. But you know, you had I'm trying to think of somebody Nolan Ryan, you know, played for the Rangers, and you know, he was the biggest name in baseball at one point when he was playing for the friggin' Rangers. So, I mean, that's what again, Major League Baseball is missing is not creating stars. They got to do a better job of that. And I'll wrap up, make one more comparison to wrestling as we continue to do tonight. WWE really had started suffering in popularity. And the reason they were suffering is they weren't creating stars. It was the circuses coming to town. Just go to watch WWE. And since Vince has been out of power and, you know, Paul Levesque, Triple H has been back in power, they've created stars again.
Yeah.
And now their ratings and attendance is through the roof.
Going on Netflix was a
good you got to have stars, you know, and you can't rely on just John Cena. You know, now Cody Rhodes is a huge star. CM Punk is a huge star. Drew McIntyre is a huge star. The Usos. I mean, it's the same for baseball. Any professional sport, you've got to have superstars.
No doubt. And, guys, what's your thoughts, your prediction? How do you think we'll do this week? I know it's a toss-up. We have, obviously, the state game, and you have a home in Greenville, and you have the Charlotte game. What's your prediction? How do you think?
I'm going to be realistic. I hope we go 4-0. I say we lose the state midweek. We find a way to take two from Charlotte and go 2-2 on the week.
That's exactly – you stole my thunder. That's exactly – I was going to say 2-2. I'm praying that we beat state. I don't see that. I think we win the Friday night game. There'll be a sense of urgency on Friday, and we'll probably lose Saturday or Sunday. We take the series in Charlotte, but, yeah, 2-2 is what I was going. How about you, Landis?
I think that's a fair
– And tell me 4-0.
I think that's fair, but I'm going to go with 4-0 because just to do it. Because I think hopefully – based off what Florida Atlantic showed them, that you can come off of a sweep and really put it to somebody. So hopefully they'll come out with a "we have nothing to lose" type mindset. Because I hate to say it, but they could easily have the opposite here, where they're kind of too tight, you know. So hopefully they come out the state, you know, bang the ball around, go to Charlotte, with Charlotte in that far, and go there and. It looks like they play Truist Field Friday and then the other stadiums the other 2 days. So hopefully they go there and just put it to them, you know, play with something to prove, you know, play with some, you know, urgency to it. And kind of sometimes the best games are played after you get the tar beat out of you. So I'm saying 4-0. I'm just going to make it that prediction.
All right.
I'm out.
Love it. All right, we hope Landis is correct.
And Coach Hill chimes in. He's not here tonight, but he says 0-4. So you can send all the Coach. No, I'm kidding. He did not say that. that was a joke. That was absolutely a joke. Coach is gonna kill me now, but love you, Coach. And Johnny Robertson, I agree with Landis. So Johnny Stats,
there you go.
With a cameo, Johnny Stats says that Landis, we're going 4-0. I hope that I'm wrong. I don't mind being wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I want to go 4-0. But right now, that we'll take as a cliche as a coach and player, take one game at a time. Right now, NC State's on the clock, so let's beat NC State and worry about the weekend on the weekend. So,
yeah, quickly, as we wrap this up, we will have either this week or the following week, we will have a spring football show. It'll be me, Dave, and Matt Semenza, former linebacker for the ECU Pirates. If you're a long-time listener to Sports Objective, you know Semenza. So me, Dave, and Matt will have a spring football show one day over the next 2 weeks. We're going to have to we'll promote it, let you guys know when it will be. We will look at the spring so far and the spring still to come. And needs that need to be addressed in the portal post spring. So be looking for that wherever you're watching this.
Landis, do you know what pencil rolls are?
What did you say?
Pencil rolls.
No, ignore him, Landis. Ignore him.
Okay, we're gonna get Kyle to do pencil rolls on Dowdy Ficklin, and we'll put it up on YouTube, and it'll go viral to make lots of money for us. But I'll talk to you off the air.
Dave has an obsession with me doing pencil rolls. I think because I'm fat. I don't know. Why he has this obsession with me doing pencil rolls, but he keeps bringing it up repeatedly for about 5 years now. So there you go, Landis. Now if you I'm still clueless as to why Dave keeps bringing this up, but
all right, I'm not even sure pencil rolls. I don't even know what
exactly, Landis. Nobody else does either. It's an exercise. Something Connors used to make the players do.
Cliff has done it too for the baseball team. After
you get yourself in the shape of a pencil, and you just roll.
Yeah, pencil roll.
You just roll. I made a comment one time that doesn't sound hard.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah.
Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. I mean, particularly for a fat guy, you just use momentum. I'm just going to flip myself and let my belly carry me over. Bam, 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 bam. I just roll my ass down the damn field. I got it, baby. I got it. Pencil roll anytime, any place. Anybody, anytime, any place, you know, just like ECU football used to be. If you want to challenge me to a pencil roll, mother trucker, let's go. We'll pencil roll all day and into the night. I'm a pencil rolling son of a bitch. They call me Kyle Pencil Roll Barber. I'm the biggest pencil rolling mother. Yeah. Anyway,
I'll put up my buddy Mark Holliday for the Snack Shack against Kyle Barber. We'll have
him. I'll take Mark Holliday and I'll pencil roll his ass all day and night. I don't. Who the hell's Mark Holliday? Have I met him?
Not yet. But
you tell that son of a bitch if he wants to pencil roll this guy.
All right, he's gonna kill me too. I'm gonna get out here, but I'm way behind, obviously. But I've had a lot of fun. Landis, man, thank you so much. And give another plug. Let's buy a whole bunch.
Yeah,
Billy's House of Nuts and Candy, right? And
Billy's House Candy Company.com. You can order online if you're local. You can follow us on Facebook, message me. I'll have an easier way to get in touch with me next time.
All right, and I've got the if you're watching, then
yeah, all fresh pecans, all our stuff is local. Aiden, North Carolina, right outside of Greenville. We use all fresh pecans here. We use Ghirardelli chocolate and vanilla on everything. We got a cinnamon roll, which is our most popular, vanilla, pumpkin spice, dark chocolate, Mexican dark chocolate, which is my favorite little spice. We got a toasted, lightly salted. You can see all our stuff up there at our website. You can see it all. And we, if you're local, if you go to Facebook, you can see all the stuff we do there too. So we don't use anything from Georgia. We don't use anything from anywhere else other than right around here in Aiden, and we do candy everything here at the farm, so super local. We use all fresh pecans, all of that. So, thank you, appreciate it. Thank you,
Dave. Your stocks are gonna, In fact, Mark just texted me. He wants the nuts there, the pecans. So we'll talk to you off air.
Yeah, cool. I got it.
All right, guys. Well, good luck to the Pirates. Thanks to Landis. Thanks to Kyle. Thanks to all of you watching and listening. You guys are awesome. And we'll see you next Sunday night. If it's Sunday night, it's extra innings right here on the Sports Objective. Good night, everybody. And as always, go Pirates.
You're watching the Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.